And a good Saturday morning. Welcome into another edition of Ask the Experts. On today's show, back with us, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages, 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo, and online at powermortgages.ca, where knowledge and service make the difference. At least that's what this piece of paper here tells me. Good morning, everyone.
Boo! Happy Halloween.
Well, thank you. Let's bring the microphone a little closer, and then you'll probably be able to scare me a bit more. Try it again.
Boo!
Oh! Holy heck.
And good morning to you, Dave. No boo for me.
But still strangely just as scary. Thanks for coming in today, guys. And we're glad to have you on the show again throughout the hour. If you've got questions for Kevin and Ann, do give us a call. 519-570-2545. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Or *570 on your cell phone, hands-free. So on this week's show, we're going to start things off, as we often do, by covering what's happening in the mortgage industry in the news. So what's going on this week?
Well, there was a big article out this week in the Toronto newspapers about TD Bank's new collateral mortgage. Now, this is the mortgage we talked about the last time, in which consumers are now not going to be given a choice about what kind of mortgage they're going to take. They're automatically going to be given a collateral mortgage, on which they're going to register up to 125% of the value of the home. So the difference between the actual value of your home now when you get the mortgage and that 125% is available for credit.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is registering a lien against your house for more than its value, or up to more than its value, and you are allowed to use it as a secured line of credit. Now, a collateral mortgage is usually something that businesses get and put on their personal homes to secure their business loans, so that if the business goes bankrupt or they call in their loans, they can now go and take the mortgage, force the sale of the the businessman's loan, and force the sale of the house to get their money out. This means that TD will now be able to attach on the equity of your house things like credit cards and personal loans for cars and such like that, plus your other lines of credit, unsecured lines of credit. Now, they think this is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the in-between time, they have since come out with a big report that says that Canadians are overextended in their debt, that they have too much credit available to them, and this is very, very, very bad. And yet, they are leading the parade by making each new mortgage borrower take a collateral line of credit, which then opens up whole new windows and avenues of credit that most Canadians don't take advantage of, which is borrowing against the equity of your home.
But it also puts the financial institutions in a much more secure position to, if somebody is experiencing financial difficulties and they have these lines of credit and or credit card borrowing solutions with the same financial institution, the lender really has recourse against the equity that's in the property to protect them in the event of default on any of these other debts. So what it really does for the everyday consumer, it now makes it much more difficult for them to deal with their financial issues in a consumer proposal or whatever, because a bank now really has held as security equity in the property. So these items, and I guess these borrowing things, and particularly these collateral charged term mortgages, are really more beneficial to the financial institutions than they are to the consumer themselves. And we've said for years and years that the financial institutions have really loaded people up with debt. They have no debt retirement program on anything that any borrowing instrument that they put in front of a client. They have no debt retirement program. They're all geared to minimum payments, interest-only payments, and the amount of debt just continues to climb because even on their billing, they just bill for minimum payments or interest-only payments. People really have to be motivated themselves or have to really take the ownership of dealing with their debt and really have to make an effort to pay the principal payments, because they're only being billed for minimum payments. And So the debt continues to grow simply because there is no debt retirement program in place. As usual, I guess our friends at the bank are sucking and blowing. They're saying it's great that we should have all of these borrowing things and build our book of business. And when the levels get too high, then on the other side, they turn around and say, well, debt levels are too high. Who put people in the position?
Well, and this is another issue, that there's a lot of smoke being blown at us. Yes, the level of Canadian debt is high. And bear in mind that we're coming through a recession where a lot of people have had to borrow simply because they've lost their jobs or they've taken reduced hours at their work so that they still have a job when the recession is over. And that has necessitated some amount of borrowing to sort of get themselves through these hard times. But it's credit card debt is one of the leading indicators of high debt. And these interest rates are rising. And also the cap on how much you can borrow keeps rising. I mean, each month you borrow up to a certain level and then they raise your maximum amount that you can still borrow on these credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't ever lower them unless you're in big trouble. Usually they just keep going up and up and up and allowing you more and more credit at higher and higher interest rates. The surprising thing is that I've read recently is that as big as credit card debt is, as this debt seems to be and that everybody's so afraid of in the lending field, is that each month up to 96% of us pay our credit card balances in total, leaving only somewhere between 3 and 4% of us that carry a balance and make those smaller payments than what we should. To me, I was just absolutely astounded by that number because all the reading I've been done suggests to me that it's the opposite, mm-hmm. that only 3 or 4% of Canadians are paying off their balance every month, and the other 96% are, in fact, carrying big balances and making small minimum payments and higher and higher credit limits on their cards, getting further and further into debt.
I find that very surprising as well, and I would have thought that the numbers would have been the majority of people carrying debt.
And yet,
I would have thought so too. Where did you read this?
I read this in the Toronto Star last week.
Well, I don't want to say that I don't believe the Toronto Star, but
I
don't believe the Toronto Star. I find that number a little hard to swallow.
Yeah, but it was a report coming out from an economist.
Well, then I don't want to say he's a liar, but no. I think 96%, that is a very surprising number. I find it a little hard to believe, but it's good news if it's anywhere close to accurate.
But, you know, we have always paid our credit cards at the end of the month in full.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people we know pay their credit cards in full at the end of the month. And maybe we and our friends and the people that we know aren't unusual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's out there happening more than what we actually thought.
Well, I guess the other interesting concept is maybe people are paying off their credit cards at the end of the month, are actually dumping the balance on their secured or unsecured line of credit.
That's a possibility.
Yes, there's lots of ways of looking at it, isn't there?
So the
because you
card.
Can't take line of credit to the department store and charge on that.
Because I still see these studies that are published all the time that says that the average Canadian is spending $1.40 for every dollar that they actually earn. So,
but bear in mind, in that $1.40 is their house.
Okay.
Right?
But they're still taking on water.
Well,
yes.
that's the point. There's still somewhere there's an imbalance here. So, excuse me. So, with that published number in mind, then are Canadians really taking on too much debt, as banks like TD are saying, if most of us are being responsible with it?
Yeah, I think we are.
Okay.
I think a lot of us are in debt. Some of us are mortgage poor. And some of us are credit card poor. I do think that there is a lot of debt being taken on, but then I'm very conservative about debt myself. You know, I have a friend, and her husband told me one time they were buying something big, and I said to them, oh my gosh, that's like a lot of money, because I knew it was a lot of money for their income. And she said, well, we can make the payment. I said, yeah, but it's a lot of money. She said, we don't worry about how much money we're spending so long as we can make the payment.
Well, yes.
I suppose that's another way of looking at it.
I'd have to say that in the past, even I have been guilty of things like that. It's like, well, I really want this big screen TV, and I can make the payment. Eventually, I do pay for it, but, you know, maybe there is something wrong with that mentality. My guest today on the show, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages, 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo. Online at powermortgages.ca. You can give their offices a call at 519-886-1993. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion, and we'll also talk a little bit about the Bank of Canada as well. So stick around. More of Ask the Experts is coming up here on 570 News. Kevin Power and Ann Turner are my guests today from Power Mortgages, online at powermortgages.ca. If you've got a question for Kevin or Ann about anything we're talking about on the show today, give us a call, 519-570-2545. If you're out of town, it's toll-free, 1-800-570-5715 and star 570, hands-free on your cell phone. Before the break, we were talking about this program that one of the major banks has started. It's TD. And everyone who gets a mortgage from them now gets a collateral mortgage. Yay!
Yes.
For the bank.
Sounds good so far.
It sounds good. My question, actually, I wanted to ask earlier was, you're saying that everyone who gets a mortgage from TD now automatically gets enrolled in one of these mortgages. Do you have the option, if you decide to deal with TD, to opt out and say, no, I'd like a regular mortgage, thank you?
You have the option to ask, but negotiating with banks typically has been equivalent to negotiating with Attila the Hun. If you want their money, here's the way we're going to do it.
Can we replay the part where we say the views expressed on the show? No. Attila the Hun. Well, we go.
Bear in mind, he calls me Attila the Hun.
No, okay. Actually, I call Ann Attila the Honey.
So, all right. So you're saying that it might be a little difficult to opt out. And at the same time as the banks are offering these extra credit products, they're saying that levels of debt that Canadians are carrying are too high.
who was instrumental in getting consumers in that position?
It becomes sort of mind-boggling. Anyway, is there anything else on this topic we need to cover before we move on?
Well, not that we're trying to land-based TD Canada Trust. They are not the only lender that have these types of products. These products are not new. They have been around with other financial institutions for some time. Manulife with their Manulife One product. National Bank of Canada with their all-in-one account, and Scotiabank with their STEP product. And even us in our industry, when these products were introduced, there was really no great amount of information being given to our industry when these products were introduced. They were just presented to us about all the benefits that were there, and they had the mortgage and the line of credit and la la la. There was no disclosure to us at the time that these things were being secured by collateral mortgage documents, that these items were not available for switch transfer at the end of maturity. Everybody was left in the dark, and we are professionals in our industry, and if we're not being made aware of these things, and if we're not asking the questions ourselves, or we're finding out after we've been into these products and selling them for quite some time, and we find out the shortcomings after the fact, the everyday consumer out in the marketplace really is at the mercy of who it is that they're talking to or who they're dealing with on these products. And that is extremely concerning. We in our industry are regulated fairly heavily, and we have a large level of responsibility in due diligence in making sure that people understand what they're getting into. And if we're not getting that information, it makes it pretty difficult for us to tell our clients and help them make an informed decision about the mortgage product that they want, and more importantly, know the downside.
The other thing that always concerns me as well in terms of the difference in the laws that regulate the brokerage community and the laws that regulate the banking industry is the level of disclosure required by each. The level of disclosure on the brokerage community is extraordinarily high. You really have to leave our offices knowing everything about your mortgage. You know, you have to be made aware of everything. Mm-hmm. And yet at the bank, you don't. Like, one example is the true cost of borrowing. You know, we disclose the true cost of borrowing. We may give you a rate of 3.5, mm-hmm. but the true cost of borrowing will be slightly higher, maybe 3.53 or 3.54, because of other things that are added in, like your CMHC premium, legal fees, appraisals. You know, those sorts of things get added on to the mortgage, and then that real rate of interest is calculated. Banks don't have to do this.
Okay. You know,
that's one thing. So the bank's rate on the documents will look different from our rate, even though they're both sold at the same rate, because the bank doesn't have to tell you what else is being added on to that rate that boosts it up. It just has to disclose the rate that it appears to be. But every single mortgage, whether it's from a bank, a trust company, a private lender, us, has these fees that have to be calculated into the mortgage document, not just the face value of the mortgage. And that has an effect on what that rate looks like on the document.
Cost of borrowing.
Okay.
The rate remains the same. It's just when you add additional costs, no matter what they are and for what reason, it impacts your cost of borrowing.
So once again, another good reason why you might want to use a mortgage broker, because you'll leave the office knowing more about what you're actually getting yourself into.
Exactly.
And, you know, we've got a couple minutes before we have to take a break. I just realized, as we're talking about interest rates and that sort of thing, I totally forgot after the break that we were supposed to do the Kevin's rate specials for the show. I was so adamant about getting back into this discussion. So let's take a look at what rates Power Mortgages are bringing in today.
Well, Dave, the great thing about forgetting to do that, of course, you never had the opportunity to work me over. Anyway, 5-year fixed-term mortgage today with 120-day rate guarantees, 3.59%. Excuse me. First three callers, new customers only, subject to credit approval. Three callers after the show, 3.49%.
Okay.
Excuse me, Dave.
Oh, that's okay.
7-year mortgage, 4.75%. 10-year mortgage, 4.98%. Variable rate mortgage at prime minus 0.75, which is an incredibly great rate and a great opportunity, pardon me, for people who have variable rate mortgages currently where they're on prime plus or on these lines of credit, secured lines of credit, where they're at prime plus one. You can change your cost of borrowing by going to a variable rate mortgage from prime plus 1% to prime minus 0.75. That's worth about $3,500 in interest cost on a $200,000 mortgage for a year.
Okay. So, folks, if you would like to take advantage of, is there any more rates we need to talk about?
We're good before I run out of beer.
We're going to get you a glass of water as soon as we go to break. If you would like to take advantage of any of the rates Kevin was talking about today, just give him a call when the show is finished at 519-240-2967. That's 519-240-2967. News is coming up. When we come back, we'll talk about the Bank of Canada rate and the fact that they didn't raise the overnight lending rate this time around and what that actually means. And a little later in the show, we'll continue our discussion, the debate of renting versus buying as it pertains to how things are going at the moment in our economy. So stick around. More of Ask the Experts with Power Mortgages coming up here on 570 News. Thanks so much for joining us on this edition of Ask the Experts. Kevin Power and Ann Turner are my guests from Power Mortgages, 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo, online at powermortgages.ca, and you can call them at 519-886-1993. You can also call us right now if you've got a question for Kevin and Ann. 519-570-2545 is the number to ring. Out of town, it's toll-free at 1-800-570-5715. Or *570 hands-free on your cell phone. Now, let's take a little look at the Bank of Canada and the fact that they didn't raise the overnight lending rate this time around. What does that mean, and is it good news?
Well, sure, it's good news. I mean, if the interest rates aren't going up, then it's good news for consumers and home buyers. In fact, it's terrific news, but it's not surprising news, because sooner or later, both the economists and the Bank of Canada were going to have to really look at what's happening and judge what's happening in the economy on its own merits as opposed to what they think is happening and where it's going. And I've always said that traditionally the banks have looked at, Bank of Canada has looked at the inflation rate. As long as inflation was under 2%, there would be no rise in rates. But as soon as it was going over 2%, the rates would go up to slow down consumer spending, which would slow down inflation. And we haven't been anywhere near that, yet the rates have gone up 75 basis points or 0.75% this year, just because, I don't know why, not really looking. But, you know, the forecast for growth in 2011, looking forward, was 2.9%, but they're now revising it down to 2.3%. So that's a consideration, that we're not having the growth in our economy that was initially forecast. There's mounting consumer debt, which if you start raising those rates, put people already under duress in this economic climate, under more duress. And that starts a spiraling thing of consumers are finding it more difficult to play, therefore they're not paying, therefore there's more defaults, and that spins the economy down as well. And or if the rates start getting too high, consumers stop spending, and that slows the economy down again. Also, the U.S. economy is having difficulty recovering. They're not recovering as well as we are, and they are our major consumer of Canadian products. Mm-hmm. So they aren't buying as much, which is keeping our economy slowed down as well. And there is also tension in the currency markets. You know, and this kind of high tension in the currency markets really risks a protracted global recovery. You know, and when there's a global recovery, it, you know, we're long past being individual countries that operate in a self-contained economy. We are truly a global market, truly a global village, and what happens in the rest of the world really affects what happens in our country. And so if the global recovery is slow, our recovery is slow.
Do you wish to add anything?
I'm speechless, Dave.
First time this year. There we go. So, would you say this? It means that the Bank of Canada are actually looking what's happening in our economy, going back to paying attention to their own tried and true indicators, such as inflation, like they used to.
It appears to, and you know, and the economists are now looking and saying, well, there doesn't really look like there's going to be another rate increase over the next year, so we're going to look at historical low interest rates for a very long time in the future. We've already had them for a long time, and we're going to continue to have them, which brings us up to our next topic. Why should you buy a house?
Mm-hmm. Well, why? Well, obviously, the interest rates, because they're going to be historically low. You just said it yourself. But we were going to take another look at what we talked about the last couple of shows, the whole renting versus buying debate as it pertains to what's going on in the economy. And with interest rates the way they are now, and we did these comparisons, why wouldn't you try and buy your own, even if it's just a condo or your own small starter home, why wouldn't you do that?
Well, there are a couple of good reasons why you wouldn't. One would be maybe that your job is insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, or you're going through something tragic right now, you know, like a loss of job or a divorce or something like that, where you're just too unstable in your life. Another really good reason is that you're moving around a lot. You know, your job requires that, you know, like bankers often get posted in different locations from time to time. There's a lot of people whose work follows different trails, and they're required to pick up and move frequently. So if you're a person that must, out of necessity, pick up and move from time to time. You don't want to get into that. It's expensive to buy a house. There are costs in selling a house and in purchasing a house. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to incur those costs if you're only going to be there for a short period of time. So if you're a mover, a rounder, then don't buy a house. Continue to rent.
I think most people in that situation who know that their job makes them pop from place to place aren't interested in buying a home. They already know that that's probably not a good idea for them. Are there any other reasons why you would continue to rent as opposed to looking at buying?
Because you can't afford to buy. Your income is so low. I mean, some people are making minimum wage and they're sole people. You know, they're the only people contributing mm-hmm. to their household. That's going to make it very difficult for you to buy a home, unless you're living in a small community and homes aren't particularly expensive. In Newfoundland, there are places in Newfoundland where you can buy a house for $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000.
I'm not moving there, though.
You're no. not. You just visit every now and then. Okay. Well, all right. Well, these are all things you have to take into account when you're looking at it. But you're doing the opposite of what you did last time. You're making renting sound more appealing. But
to a certain segment of society, you should be renting.
Like, okay.
Don't ask a student to come and buy a house. They're not in the position to. They're a long way from their career path at the start of it, and they're moving back and forth in and out of town according to their semesters, and it's not a good time for them to be buying a home.
Biggest obstacles, Dave, that I have seen over the years why people can't or are not in a position to be able to buy a home at present typically have to do with credit issues, unresolved credit issues, or previous credit issues that have negatively impacted their credit rating. And that takes some time and some diligent effort in order, and I guess a really proactive plan, in order to be able to position yourself to improve your credit rating where you can actually be able to borrow at decent interest rates now, and if not now, in the future. The other one that really seems to be problematic for a number of people who want to become homeowners is the lack of down payment. And there are some programs that are even available today. One is the Region of Waterloo home ownership program, where you can buy homes up to, and I think they just recently bumped up the price to $210,000 or $220,000, and they have a down payment program for you, but you still have to be in a position with job and credit rating in order to qualify for that program. There's the borrowed down payment program, or so-called flexible down payment program, but those programs are driven by credit history. And the credit requirements for those programs is actually higher than if you have your own down payment. Well, that's usually the two major things that cause people problems in qualifying for a mortgage.
All right, so let's talk about people who are ready. Paint me a picture of a really good first-time home buyer, someone who should be looking at moving from their current apartment into their first home.
Anybody who has a stable job.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who has the ability to either have saved the down payment themselves, or the down payment is available through immediate family members, and there are lots of guidelines in our industry, and one of them actually governs the source of acceptable down payments in terms of gifts. It has to be from an immediate family member. It can't be from a friend. It can't be from an employer.
Can't be from an uncle.
Yeah, it's got to be brother, sister, mother, father, grandmother, grandfather. That's pretty well the short list in terms of what's acceptable. Now, let's not kid each other. We are ingenious people, and we have seen cases over the years where the down payment indirectly came from mom and dad, but directly came from somebody else.
Okay.
So. Anyway, there's lots of different things that are done, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, but we are ingenious people, and it's no different than the legal profession. You have the law, and you have the letter of the law, and so long as it is acceptable and you haven't really stepped outside, there are some things that you can do to be able to source a down payment, but somebody who's demonstrated the ability to maintain their debt, they have room in their budget today. You know, they've and home ownership is a great thing. It's a bigger ticket item than owning your first car, which is a great experience as well. But that experience becomes very short-lived. On a positive note, if you're not financially positioned to do it, simply by getting it doesn't resolve your problem. The shine goes off pretty quickly after you've been in the house for 3 or 4 or 6 months or a year, and all of a sudden you're struggling to make the payments because you never really paid attention to the amount of debt load that you had or really worked out a monthly budget to see what your home ownership was all about. And one of the things that we have done for a lot of years, and we've really promoted for a lot of years, is fully underwritten pre-approvals, where we actually will take the time to work out numbers with people. We will request that they bring in all the required documentation at the beginning, and we'll take the necessary time and spend the necessary money associated with obtaining a credit report.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some really good and solid reasons why you should prefer to buy over renting. If you took your down payment money as a renter and put it into an investment, your rate of return will probably end up being the same as if you bought a house. But where it changes and makes that house a better buy is a number of reasons. First of all, that rate of return at the end is a capital gain. And capital gains on your home is tax-free. So you've increased your capital gain by the percentage of tax you would have paid if it were an investment. And for some people, they're in the 20 or 30 or 40 tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
So if that $10,000, if you ended up with $10,000 in capital gain, you're going to pay $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 in tax on it, then it's not as good an investment as a home where you're not going to pay that taxable gain. And now we're talking about properties that are like $100,000 or $200,000. So you're talking about $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, depending on the cost of your house, the price of your house, the equity in it.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is insurance for old age. After 25 or 30 years, that mortgage is paid. Your rent is never paid. It's ongoing. You always pay it, and it's always increasing. However, a mortgage gets paid down every time you make a payment, and you create equity in that house. But by the time you're ready to retire, for most people, that mortgage is paid off, and you now live in that home rent-free, paying only the utilities and taxes on it. And a lot of places that you rent require you to pay the same utilities. The other thing is that it gives you a spot, soft spot to land when you retire. And you can live in that home, or you can sell it, take the equity out, and move to something less expensive or smaller. It gives you, or just reinvest it, and it gives you that income
mm-hmm.
for your retirement that you may not have enough of because of any other pension plan that you're involved in. The other thing is that inflation works for you on your property value. In the sense that your mortgage payment, if today it's costing you $1,000 a month in a mortgage payment, over time, inflation erodes the value of that debt. That $1,000 in debt 10 years down the road isn't costing you the same as $1,000 in debt now. It has become less valuable because of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't hurt as much in 10 years, realistically, to pay that $1,000 a month as it does right now. So that debt is eroded by inflation. The impact of that debt is eroded by inflation.
We have to take a break. We can continue. Hold that thought.
We'll
continue with this in just a minute as we continue with Ask the Experts with Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages. If you'd like more information, fire up your web browser and go to powermortgages.ca or give their offices a call at 519-886-1993. More of Ask the Experts coming up here on 570 News. Welcome back to the show. My guests, Kevin Power and Ann Turner of Power Mortgages, 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo, and online at powermortgages.ca. And just before we get back to the topic at hand, let's take another look at the show rate specials with Kevin.
Thank you, Dave. And 5-year fixed-term money today with 120-day rate closing, 3.59%. And we will further reduce that interest rate for the first three qualified clients after the show. 3.49% for new customers only, and of course, subject to credit approval. We have 7-year money at 4.75%, 10-year money at 4.98%, and we have variable rate mortgage products at prime minus 0.75%. Prime today is at 3, so 0.75 off is 2.25%. Great opportunity for anybody that's carrying a variable rate mortgage at a discount less than that or at prime plus some of the mortgages that were being done a year or so ago. And lines of credit, those lines of credit that never seem to get reduced along the way that are currently sitting at prime plus 1%, prime minus 0.75, will equate to approximately $3,500 a year in interest savings on a $200,000 mortgage or a line of credit at or prime plus 1 versus prime minus 0.75. Great opportunity to take a look at getting yourself out of the ongoing debt situation on these never go away lines of credit that are offered by our friends at the banks.
So if you'd like to take advantage of any of these offers, then just give Kevin a call as soon as the show is done at 519-240-2967. That's 240-2967. So just before the break, we were talking about why you should consider buying instead of renting, and unfortunately I had to cut Ann off. So Ann, continue.
Yeah, so I just want to go back to how inflation works on debt reduction and give a really clear example in terms that are easy to understand. Many years ago, when I was a little girl, my aunt bought a house in Toronto. And it was one of these wartime houses. This is what she and her husband could afford at the time. And she's always lived in it since then. It's the first house they bought, and it's the last house they bought. And I can remember a number of years ago saying to her, why don't you pay this mortgage off? Like, you've got more than enough money to get rid of that mortgage. And she said, no, why would I? My mortgage payment a month is $40.
What?
But at the time she got that mortgage, $40 a month was a struggle. You know, but now, like, it was like 20 years later or something, that $40 a month was nothing. Now, in today's dollars, it would probably equal, you know, since I asked her that question, it would probably be like worth $160 or $70 in today's dollars.
Right.
But
that still would be an awesome
mortgage. Awesome mortgage. And her point was, why would I pay it off? Because I'm only paying $140 or $150 or $60 a month in today's dollars. It's not worth paying it off. I get to have my money in my bank account earning me more interest than it's costing me to pay this mortgage payment.
Okay, that's a good example.
And we were talking during the break, Dave, about the cost of borrowing, and I'd mentioned about some clients I'd met with yesterday who had bought their first home in the 1960s, and I asked them a question about what was their cost on their mortgage interest rate at that point in time, and they said it was 6.25%. So we're talking over 40 years ago. Fixed-term mortgage money at 6.25%, 6.5%, and we are now today, 40-something years later, offering mortgage interest rates under 4%, 3.5%, 3.59%, 3.49%. Pretty amazing numbers in terms of looking at things that you can buy today that cost less money than they were over 40 years ago. Here's a situation of inflation working to your advantage. Everything else in the last 40 years has gone up significantly in terms of cost. Wages and income have gone up as well. However, the cost of borrowing is almost half of what it would have been over 40 years ago.
So are black and white TVs.
Well, yeah. Where would you even find one of those now unless you went on, like, eBay? So, all good reasons to consider buying instead of renting. Is there anything else on the list?
Yes, it's a form of forced savings, where we all start out with saving plans with good intentions, and then we need new tires, or we need a plumbing call, or something happens that requires us and takes that money out of the savings plan. When you make a mortgage payment, there's no dipping into it and taking it out like you would a bank account. So every month, you are forced to save the principal amount that is being paid down every time you make a mortgage payment. Because mortgage payments now are made in blended payments. Part of it is the interest that's owed, and part of it is the principal. At the beginning of the mortgage, the interest part is bigger, but as the principal gets paid down, the principal amount that you pay down each payment becomes bigger. So you're forced to make savings that you really can't touch with your mortgage payment that forces you to save money. Plus, you get an equity increase in your property each year. So it's sort of like extra savings. But that doesn't happen when you rent. When you rent, it goes to the landlord. And the only thing that really happens is that your rent goes up. It doesn't go down. And there's zero in your bank account or anywhere else at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the end of 25 years or 30 years or whatever. The other thing, and the last thing I'd like to talk about, is the intangibles of buying. You're allowed to buy and put down roots in the neighborhood of your choice with the facilities that you like to have, the schools, the shopping, the bus routes, the green spaces and that sort of thing. You get to choose the neighborhood. You get to choose the style and type of housing that you want to live in and the costs that you want to spend each month in terms of supporting that lifestyle. And you put down roots in your community. You're not being asked to move or forced to move because of changes in the rental market.
All very good reasons.
And pride of ownership.
Absolutely. So, folks, I'm sorry. Once again, the show has flown by. These are all great reasons to consider buying instead of renting. So if you think you're ready, a good idea would be to get in touch with a good mortgage broker. Let me think. Power Mortgages happens to be at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo. For more info online, go to powermortgages.ca. And you can give them a call at 519-886-1993. Thanks for being on the show again.
Thank you, Dave.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. Yep.
That's right, on the 13th, where we'll have all sorts of fun all over again. Kevin Power and Ann Turner were my guests today. Stick around. News is next, then more of Ask the Experts here on 570 News.